All right. My name is Wendy Woodard. I am 44. Today is March 10th, 2020. We are in Las Cruces, New Mexico at New Mexico State University. My interview partner is my husband, Scott Woodard.
And I am Scott Woodard, 42. March 10th, 2020. We're here, Las Cruces, New Mexico State University. I'm here to talk with Wendy today about StoryCorps Military Voices.
And not to tell you your business, but you're only 41.
Am I? Really? Wow, man. Thank you. Thank you. Good start. Good start. You pass.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's start off. Let's tell me a little bit about the bases that you've served at and locations.
Okay. Yeah. I started at the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs. I guess that's serving. Mm-hmm. After that, I went to Vance Air Force Base in Enid, Oklahoma, nice, for pilot training. After pilot training, I went to Barksdale Air Force Base in Louisiana to fly the B-52, and then went to McGuire Air Force Base in New Jersey to fly the KC-10. I did a decent amount of time overseas during that assignment. Following that, I got to go back to the Air Force Academy as an officer and teach. And where'd I go then? Oh, Robins Air Force Base in Georgia, where I met you.
Oh.
And then we went to San Antonio to Randolph Air Force Base. And now we are here in New Mexico at New Mexico State.
Okay. Nice.
I'm lucky. I think I got them all.
Okay. Yeah. So tell me a little bit about maybe some challenges that you think you might have faced along the way. Challenges, not necessarily just physical challenges. Do you think that you were, as a youth growing up, as a cadet at the academy, post, what's some challenges that you think you faced unique to you?
Oh, unique to me. I don't know if there's anything that's unique to me, but growing up, challenges. Well, growing up in Los Alamos, small town, northern New Mexico, I think at the time we all thought it was a challenge to find fun things to do that didn't involve getting in trouble with the police.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. But in all honesty, there was plenty of fun things to do. We just were looking for funner things, I think.
Aren't we all?
At the academy, yeah, challenges of things. Let's just say academics had not come that difficultly for me in high school. There wasn't anything that I came across that I didn't succeed at, wasn't able to do. I mean, I learned it all.
Yeah.
But I got to the academy and hit my first engineering class. And no matter how much studying or preparation or time, extra time spent with a teacher, to this day, still do not know what a load-bearing portion of a bridge is or why that's important, really. I mean, I guess it is if you're going over the bridge.
On a bridge. Yeah, just want to point that out.
But I discovered things that I was not good at. Mm-hmm. Okay. So perhaps that was some humility there. Or I just switched my major to something that I was good at.
There you go.
I would say that pilot training was probably the most challenging year of my life. Definitely found something I wasn't good at, and that was learning how to fly. It was the most confidence-destroying year of my life, and it took a lot of time after that to build myself back up, I think. Yeah.
Okay.
Shall I keep talking about challenges?
Did you find any difficulty as a female?
I don't think that my problems my issues, my challenges were due to being a woman. I think that it was just due to my skill level. I don't know if this is something that you're going to ask about, but I did have one person in my, 23 years of active duty tell me that I didn't belong in the cockpit.
Okay.
I did have one person say that. And I was so mad because no one had said it. And then this guy ruined it for everybody else by saying it. So that's the only time I've felt like someone has not thought I belonged because I was a woman.
Yeah. Okay. And that, so obviously that frustrated you, upset you,
yeah.
angered you? Did it drive you? Did it motivate you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, it shocked me because nobody had said it.
Sure.
It made me mad, yes, because it was, 1998 or 1999. What are you doing still talking like this? And that this guy felt like I didn't belong because I couldn't, not that I couldn't, I refused to lift a super heavy bag from the ground directly up over my head into the bottom of the B-52. And I am not the only person who had refused to lift those heavy bags. There were plenty of guys who had hurt their backs.
Sure.
And had decided not to lift. But this guy watched me, did not help me, watched me lift the bags into the base of the plane and just kind of waited for me to fail. No help whatsoever, just waited and watched for me to fail. And then when I didn't lift the bag, he had determined that I didn't belong.
Yeah.
Mostly because his thought process was if the plane was on fire, he needed to rely on me to pull him out. And since I didn't lift the bag, he didn't think I could pull him out of a burning plane.
Yeah, okay. Well.
Right. So, yes.
Well.
It motivated me to be the best that I could to prove that I did belong where I was.
Excellent.
You're welcome.
I'm glad you take the positive out of that.
Well,
in the end.
Yeah.
Would you have pulled him out of a burning plane? Just want to throw that in there.
He was kind of a jerk, so I would have given it a second thought. No, I mean, okay. I told him, hey, I'll have extra adrenaline. Don't worry about it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the oxygen mask in the passenger plane. You put yours on first, and
right?
then you help.
Yeah.
The crying baby still in the plane. Yeah. So tell me, what was your earliest memory where you realized that you wanted to be in the Air Force, in the military, as a pilot?
So I don't know if I can pinpoint exactly a memory. I think that I was looking up in the sky and saw a plane flying. And I think I was kind of in the age where you see something that's cool and you think that's what you want to do when you grow up. I think it was about the fourth grade. And prior to that, we had lived next door to some people who had a picture of the Dallas Cowboys team with the cheerleaders in front. And they had the most excellent uniforms.
Wow.
And so that's kind of where I was prior to seeing that plane, that I wanted to be a Dallas Cowboys cheerleader.
Who doesn't?
Well, I don't know. I'm pretty sure every girl at some point wants to be a Dallas Cowboys cheerleader. And so I was, torn between Dallas Cowboys cheerleader or pilot. And I have a feeling, now that I'm a parent, I have a feeling that my parents looked at each other and thought, we could encourage one of these.
Yeah.
And I think I know which one it should be.
Cowboys cheerleader.
Yeah, right. They were wishing. I let them down. No. Yeah. So I think that they kind of grabbed onto that and said, hey, here's how you become a pilot. You go to the Air Force Academy. You go to pilot training. And so at that point, I decided that's what I was going to do. And I was the kind of kid who, once I set a goal, everything was towards that. Yeah. So, yeah. Made it happen.
Yeah. Excellent. So you say your parents were influential in pushing you towards this opposed to that. But are there, what are some other people in your life that you have found influential, or I don't want to necessarily say heroes, but people that you may have looked up to, admired along the way?
Oh, that's a good one. I had a teacher in high school who was very encouraging to me, Nancy Schick. Ms. Schick. She taught several of our AP history classes, and she was very smart. We used to play Trivial Pursuit with the entire class against her, and I remember one time we won, and we were so excited.
Right. Pizza party.
Right? But yeah, I think she just encouraged me. Not that my parents hadn't, but she encouraged me that I had talent, that I had intellect. And again, not that my parents weren't saying that. They were.
Yeah.
But it was nice to hear it from somebody who wasn't related to you.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I've had some people that I've flown with who I highly respect for their skill, their people skills, mm-hmm. not just flying skills, their charisma, their leadership. I think if you say hero, that throws me. I don't know if I can say one.
Yeah, yeah. Just, I guess, people that maybe you have had some admiration for or have helped motivate you.
Yeah.
In your field, not necessarily as a pilot, as a
person,
as a leader, yeah. as an instructor, as a good human being.
Yeah. Oh.
Because you're not just a pilot. You're right. You're a wonderful human being with love and compassion in your heart.
Thank you. I have some super strong friends that I met at the academy, and I think that they are strong women with strengths in various areas that I take them as great role models. I've had some ladies who are, just a few years older than I am, but along my career path, mothers, pilots, officers, who I have been lucky to be able to see how they handle all of the responsibilities. So,
okay.
I have had those people in my life, which I'm very lucky.
Good. So, how would you compare the Air Force or the military as a whole now as it was when you first entered, coming out of the academy?
Yeah. It's funny to say this, but there are a lot more women.
Mm-hmm.
I look around and I'm encouraged.
Yeah.
And again, that's not what I'm looking for. I'm not looking to see, I'm not counting heads, but it's cool to see more women coming out, more women in the military itself taking leadership roles. I think that we have changed to a focus of a lot more inclusion and wanting our force to look like the people we defend.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really important. That's obviously decisions above my pay grade. but I do think we've made appropriate changes with respect to perhaps some things that used to be around squadrons hanging on the walls or things that were said mm-hmm. that probably are are not appropriate. Uh-huh, uh-huh. And we were hanging on to those things because it was history. It was part of our heritage. And fortunately, I think we've had some leadership who has said, that's not the kind of heritage we need to hang on to. So take it down, cover it up, change it, yeah, kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Well, my follow-up question was going to be the progression of females in the Air Force and military as a whole. So thank you for effectively answering two questions.
In one.
So where do you see the future of the military, the future of aviation? A lot of unmanned aircraft is starting to become popular.
Yeah.
Do you see a point where there will no longer be pilots in the sky?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that that's coming. The pilot is really, well, we like to say that we are the most important part of the aircraft because we can make split-second decisions that perhaps AI of some sort couldn't make. But we're also the limitation. Because we can't pull as many G's or as an unmanned aircraft could.
Sure.
And so, I do see, I think that in our lifetimes, probably.
Really?
I think so. That there won't be pilots in the sky anymore. Combat. I don't think passenger planes.
Well, I don't know if I would get on a plane with no pilot.
I was going to say, would you get on a plane without a pilot?
Well, and so your opinion on Space Force. I thought I'd throw that in there for comedy. So what is a message maybe that you would have for young ladies maybe considering this path? Maybe a message to your younger self. What do you think you would tell? And obviously, you speak to young ladies on a regular basis right now
right.
who are interested in this. So what is your pitch, I guess?
Well, I think one of the best things about the military is that I don't have to fight for equal pay. Mm-hmm. You hear the statistics that women earn, whatever it is, 88 cents on the dollar that men earn. And I have never had to negotiate a salary. I know that I get paid exactly the same thing as my male counterparts. The opportunities for progression are, I would like to say, unlimited. Mm-hmm. That you will be challenged in ways that you wouldn't be outside. And obviously, if you were outside, the challenges would be different. So I think, but there are some very unique military challenges. I would say that there are work life or deployment life challenges for the family that maybe you wouldn't have with a regular job, although some people have a job that requires a lot of travel, so I'm sure that they are facing those same issues as well. I would say that there is room to grow and make mistakes.
Yeah.
That is what I would tell myself, is that no one expects you to know how to do everything perfectly. But they expect you to learn from your mistakes. But it's okay to make mistakes.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's something that I really struggled with. I think that was a big portion of my pilot training struggle, is that I didn't think it was okay to make mistakes.
Too hard on yourself.
Yes.
Hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So reflect on your career as a whole right now. Obviously, you are happy. Are there points along the way where you feel, do you live life with any regrets?
Okay. So yes, I am happy. Mm-hmm. I am happy that I've taken the path that I have. I took a little detour for a couple of years and got my esthetician certificate, and I worked in a salon for a couple of years. And it was kind of an effort to figure out if what was truly my personality and what was something I was used to because I'd been in the military. And so through that, I discovered it really was my personality to try new things and push for changes and try and climb the ladder, I guess is not the right term, but to keep improving myself, trying new things. Mm-hmm. And so having the ability to kind of take that detour and figure out where I should be was really valuable to being happy with what I came back to.
Sure.
So do I have any regrets? I've told you my regret. My regret is not joining the field hockey team in high school when we moved to Maryland. And that's if that's what a lifetime of regret is, then I'm pretty okay with that.
I thought you were going to say Dallas Cowboy cheerleader.
Well, I mean, at some point I could try and get the uniform, you know. And that would eliminate any regret that I have there.
It's just the boots.
It's just the boots, really.
Right? Yeah, okay.
It is. Probably is just the boots.
So when you look back on this as an outsider or someone who is unfamiliar, how would you describe this whole life experience? We'll say like James May in a haiku.
Well, that's not going to happen.
Impossible.
I have no practice with haiku. How would I describe the experience? I think it has been just going from growth to growth to growth, with meeting people who lead you down a road, who hold your hand if they need to, or get behind you and push you. Mm. That it has allowed me to be myself, I think. Which is...
That's nice, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I don't know if that encompasses it. That was a really big question. I don't know if that encompassed it. But yeah.
So even though a lot of places look the same, Air Force bases are very similar, usually.
Right.
Each one is different. Each step is different. Correct? I mean... Robbins is not San Antonio.
Okay. So you're talking about kind of the person that I was?
Each step, even though it is technically similar, is vastly different.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. So each job that you do is different. Each place that you visit kind of molds you in a different way. Yeah. I think that there were jobs that I didn't love,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I was in a
places
job
that you didn't enjoy, you know,
I was in a job I didn't love when I met you, and
then everything was okay.
Well, and then you still loved me, even though I was not happy at work. But yeah, it's been a journey with bumps and twists and turns and sometimes straightaways, mm-hmm. but climbs and descents and the whole thing.
And you tapped into that journey of motherhood along the way.
Yes.
How did that affect your work? Obviously.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it adds an extra bit of worry, anxiety, stress, whatever.
Joy.
Yeah. And some happiness, a pinch of happiness along the way.
Yeah. I mean, well, when you and I met, I did not want to have kids. Mm-hmm. And even when you said you would like to have kids, I told you I didn't want to have kids. And my heart got changed. And so, yeah, I can't imagine not having Daniel at this point.
Yeah.
He is a joy and a frustration, but a joy. You know, this little person is growing and learning and changing right before your eyes. It's amazing. And there's a little bit of you and there's a little bit of me in there. And that's super cool. And we get to be part of that. We get to we get to influence what he's going to be, maybe.
Hopefully.
I hope that we are having an impact on what he's going to be, what kind of person. But yeah, I mean, there are times when I see somebody doing a job that I think, gosh, that would be so cool. Mm-hmm. It would be a huge adventure to be, I don't know, in Africa helping with Ebola response and having an impact on people's lives. Okay, yeah. That is not where my expertise lies. But then I think, oh, I have a family and I can't just do these things. So, yeah, it is, one of my friends calls it the golden handcuffs, you know, that I am amazingly blessed to have you and Daniel. But I can't trot off to Africa and work with Ebola response.
Sorry
about that. It's okay. It's probably a bad idea. Yeah. So, yeah, being a mother is far more amazing. What's the right word? Life-changing than I ever thought it would be.
It's good to hear.
Thank you for convincing me.
Do you think it has affected your leadership style now that you are a caregiver of another human being?
That's a great question. Yeah, because now I have to look at other people and think, oh, they have a mom and a dad, and this could be my child. How would I want somebody to treat my child? Yeah. I think I'm perhaps a bit more compassionate now, but I also get more frustrated when I'm saying the same thing that I say to my 4-year-old to grown-ups.
Yes.
Why am I having to say these things to you?
Yes.
But, yeah, I do think it's changed me. I'm not quite as rough. I don't know if I was rough. I love you. Yeah.
So you enjoy working with younger generations?
I do.
Trying to mold them?
Yeah.
In the shape of yourself?
No, not into the shape of myself.
Of course not.
I spent 8.5 years at the academy working with cadets there, and then I've been here for coming up on 2 years working with ROTC students. And yes, I feel like they are almost adults. And I get to have one last little pressure molding into the kind of person that I would hope that they would be.
Yeah.
And I think that they are often trying to figure out where the lines are of what they can say and what they can do. And I like being the person who helps them figure out where those lines are.
Right, just like 4-year-olds. Yeah.
Sort of like 4-year-olds, yes.
Testing the limits.
Only more expensively.
Yes.
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 Yeah.
So I know you are now officially a Colonel Select. Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Oh, I think we'll be retired in 5 years. I think my expectation is we'll do what we need to do in order to get that colonel's retirement. And then you and I will figure out what the rest of our lives holds.
Jet skis.
Jet skis. Maybe they're in the picture. I don't know. But I think that You and I will figure that out.
Right.
Where do you see us in five years?
I have no idea, honestly. But wherever it is, I think we will make the best of it. Even if it's back in places where we're not the happiest being. I think that wherever it is, we'll be there together and we'll make the most of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Is there anything else you'd like to add to this for the future generations?
No.
Well, I'd like to thank you for sitting in with me today, Wendy.
Thank you for interviewing.
You've been a wonderful guest, conversationalist. You talk about yourself a lot, but that's okay.
I did. I'm sorry.
It's just like any other time.